This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Baseball is in full swing. NBA playoffs are heating up, and your NFL team is gearing up for training camp. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.
Figgy, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
Y'all have great pulse of the city, and I really love listening to your show.
With John Lopez and Landry Locker, you're in the loop on Houston's Sports Leader. Sports Radio 610.
Does silence speak volumes? Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610. It is Reaction Monday. The story of the offseason, really, at least recently, has been the Deshaun Watson legal battle. Nothing on that front the last few days. What should be made of the silence, John Lopez? Could we be heading towards a settlement? Could we be heading towards a court battle? We're 10 days away from the draft. Could there still be a trade? What should be made of the silence that we've experienced really for the last week or so in the Deshaun Watson legal battle?
I think, first of all, we're headed to a settlement. I think that has been the case the whole time, no matter what Rusty Harden may or may not say, or either side for that matter. But I think what's really a key over the last few days is that it's now not just releasing information. It's not just posting information on Instagram or having press conferences. They're really trying to craft the narrative on both sides with interviews, with access to people that can, you know, more thoroughly share their story. Obviously, the Houston Chronicle did a review of things and found some, I guess, inconsistencies is the best word. I didn't really have a big problem with that. And I'll explain why, but I think both sides responding to that was more of the, okay, we got to work our narrative. We got to get our story out there for the court of public opinion. It's almost as if every move that they make right now, Landry, is not for court purposes. I know they're doing a lot in the background in case it goes to court, but it won't. But for purposes of what happens after the settlement, how each side looks. Rusty wants to make sure that when there's a settlement, there's no wording in there. There's no verbiage in there that's going to, you know, totally implicate Deshaun. It'll probably be very vague and in the interest of blah, 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 we settled. And then Busby is trying to work his angle to, number one, get the most for his clients, and number two, to make sure that everybody knows he won this, he was right.
We didn't hear anything from Rusty Harden this week. And Tony Busby had a Facebook post, but it was basically his dog doing a photo shoot. That's all we saw over the weekend was a photo shoot with Tony Busby's dog. There have been some errors when it comes to the rush to sway public opinion. You just mentioned those. The Chronicle did some investigating. We'll get into those in 30 minutes. But you got to think that eventually this settlement is going to come, not because of what did or didn't happen, but just because at this point, with everything that's happened, with the amount of lawsuits, with the PR nightmare with Deshaun Watson, that's just the direction that most legal experts feel this is going. I do think we're in kind of a danger zone, though, for Deshaun Watson and specifically his camp, because I think the Deshaun Watson camp, and I'm not talking about the legal camp. I'll separate the legal camp here, but the management camp has been very reckless throughout this process. And you've seen Brian Burney basically show his bare naked ass multiple times with some of the stuff that he's done. He's trying to clean it up, but he and Athletes First, they've been kind of a disaster, the Watson tweet and everything. So I think Rusty Harden has a grasp and at least has made his message known to the people that have kind of been liabilities through this process that you just need to shut the hell up and you need to let this play out and let the big boys handle this. But they are in kind of a strange spot where they now have the names of the accusers for the most part. You have the names. And I think they need to realize that the public battle that has been had, like you just said, it might not be beneficial to even endure that. Because at this point, no noise is good noise for Deshaun Watson and company.
Yes, 100%.
So the more you do learn about these accusers, and I want to break them down into the 22 different accusers, the more you hear about these women, it's probably in your best interest not to just throw all their business out there. Like, if you find something out about, let's say, accuser number 18, and let's say that something has happened. And again, I just picked that number out of my butt. I have no idea where that's come from. But it's probably in your best interest to not put out any information or not leak any information or not hit up somebody and say, well, this girl did this, 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 this. Because at this point, it's not going to make Deshaun Watson look better.
Right.
It doesn't mean that he didn't do anything wrong if one of these accusers has a questionable past. And I'm not saying they do.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, as far as playing this out in the public, first of all, I think Deshaun's management has sucked at it.
Yes.
And second of all, I don't think a public battle at this point is in the best interest of Deshaun Watson. I think less noise is better, and that's the way that this needs to be handled. Despite the fact you have the names, it's not time to go on the attack. It's time to try to minimize this and get this settled. Not because of what he did or didn't do, but because at this point, heard Attorney Sam say it, heard Mike Meltzer say it, heard a lot of people say it. That's what's in the best interest of Deshaun Watson if he wants to start the next chapter of his life and try to repair his image, maybe repair some of the mistakes he's made, and maybe, and this is way down the list, resume his football career.
That's exactly what they're doing. I couldn't agree more. They've already acknowledged in their own circle, I believe, we're going to settle. Now, how do we do? It's damage control. It's after the fact damage control. How do we help Deshaun Watson the most, move on with his life, move on with his career, and minimize the public sentiment against him? I absolutely believe that's where Rusty Harden's side is. And you talk about a quiet weekend. I think it's a quiet weekend because they could well be getting down to the proverbial brass tacks here on a settlement itself. And then they're just working their own, you know, they're working amongst themselves. I fully expect something like to happen, like that to happen, maybe even this week.
That was my prediction. I think a settlement's happened within the next week and a half, 2 weeks. Could be wrong. But that's just what I think because the more that happens in a civil trial, the more it becomes public, the worse for Deshaun Watson. Still no criminal charges either. Again, that changes everything, but that's where we are right now. I think the silence speaks volumes. I think John Lopez agrees.
I think one other thing, you mentioned criminal charges. It's been very, very quiet on that front too. And why is that important? I think if I'm Deshaun Watson's representation, if I'm Rusty Harden and Rusty Harden's staff, that makes me a little nervous. You know, we thought this would just be, okay, well, nothing's going to happen. And once they settle the criminal charges, stand a much greater chance of going away. But they haven't gone away yet. You know, the whether it's the county or the HPD or the district attorney or whomever, they haven't said anything along the lines of, yeah, we don't really feel like we're getting what we need to drop these and not pursue these charges. That would make me very nervous. You know what else that would do? That would make for a very quiet weekend if I was Rusty Harden, because he'd be even more motivated to work on a settlement.
No new news on the Deshaun Watson front. 10 days away from the draft here on Sports Radio 610. 11 days for the Texans if it holds up, because they will not be selecting until the third round. We'll get into that as well as some of the errors that have been made by both Mr. Busby as well as Mr. Harden throughout this process that has been played out up till this weekend, really in the public. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you here on Reaction Monday. Last week kind of started opening my mind to the possibility of Deshaun Watson remaining a Texan. Mm-hmm. And I just want to get your reaction to this, because I know you had a busy week last week. But if Deshaun Watson is going to part ways with his camp, and let's say Deshaun Watson is going to reevaluate his situation, and let's say that the Texans can't get what they feel is appropriate value for Deshaun Watson, is the possibility, I'm not saying it's a good possibility, but is the possibility of Deshaun Watson being a Houston Texan again and stepping on the field as a Houston Texan, has it at the very least increased with everything that's gone on? Not saying there's a huge chance, but I'm saying has it at least increased?
Yeah, but let's talk about increasing from 0.05% to maybe 1%. And you said something that I think needs to be differentiated here. The possibility of him being a Houston Texan and the possibility of him playing again. Those are two different things for me. There's a slight chance of him being a Houston Texan. I think Nick Caserio kind of floated that possibility with some of his comments that we're going to get to today regarding the draft and such. But him being a Texan and him playing again are two. I think it's a 0.0, him playing again. Now, that doesn't mean he won't be a Texan and sit out and they'll ride it out and they'll wait till June or they'll wait till the midseason or whatever to move him, but he's not going to play again.
Okay, what happens if he's not on any list or anything like that and he loses money if he doesn't report? Because Florio threw it out there, the possibility of Deshaun Watson reporting to camp. And right now, I think workouts begin this week. I think they can do some stuff via Zoom. Is Deshaun Watson going to participate in these workouts over Zoom? Is he going to show up? Are they going to tell him, look, just don't show up and we'll give you money and you can just stay out of the way? Like, what? How does he approach that? Especially knowing that now he could start losing money. He's already lost a lot of money. Like, this isn't the situation Deshaun Watson originally thought he was going to be in, where, you know, you sit out and you're getting fined here and there. He's lost endorsements. His status is really up in the air. Now, there haven't been any criminal charges, and we don't know what the NFL investigation is going to be. But losing money, to me, seems a little more of a kick for Deshaun Watson than we originally thought it was going to be, when it was a foregone conclusion a couple months ago that he wasn't going to report no matter what. Like, does that not change a little bit when it comes to potential attendance at training camp?
It doesn't change. And the best thing that happened to Deshaun Watson regarding that is other players from other teams saying that they're not comfortable with reporting. Now, I know there's going to be a difference between Zoom and in person, but that gives him reason to say, yeah, me too. I'm not really comfortable with reporting. And it gives him that avenue where they can't have a double standard for him. Like other players on other teams are saying that they don't want to report. They're not comfortable yet reporting in the environment that we're in. And Deshaun Watson, they can't have a different rule for him. So that helps him in the short term anyway, I think.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Quiet weekend for Deshaun Watson, 10 days away from the NFL draft. Another bad weekend for the Astros. They dropped 2 out of 3 to the Seattle Mariners. Zach Greinke kind of saved them on Saturday with those 8 scoreless innings. But the Astros now have a losing record, much needed time off. And then tomorrow, a little interleague action, 2-piece set with the Colorado Rockies. Don't know if Lance McCullers is going to start tomorrow or not. But the Astros have kind of hit a little bit of a wall since I planned that World Series parade.
Yeah.
Two Thursdays
first
ago.
Time that they've been under 500 after this many games since 2016. I keep saying I'm not worried, but they keep losing. What, 7 out of 8, something like that they've lost? That's it's alarming. What's also alarming is, as much as they like Dusty Baker, as much as Dusty Baker is entrenched, he's doing Dusty Baker things in certain games that kind of raise an eyebrow and certainly don't help. And certainly doesn't help either that Miles Straw can't chase down a fly ball.
Yeah, that was really the turning point yesterday. I mean, George Springer catches that ball. Yeah. I mean, I'm not trying to be
absolutely
that guy, but George Springer catches that
absolutely
ball.
Absolutely.
That was a clumsy mistake that kind of just took the top off for the Astros after taking the 2-1 lead. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. Coming up, 10 days till the draft. If Deshaun Watson was traded to the New England Patriots, is there any possible compensation that would make John Lopez okay with that? We'll discuss next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Landry Locker. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, it's part of the legal process, but it's something that we have come across. Deshaun Watson's original answer and response to the allegations against him. This is everything from his accounts. This is going to be his counters to everything he's been accused of. It just came down at 9 a.m. this morning, and we have it. And we will present it to you in 12 minutes. 12 minutes from now, you will get Deshaun Watson's answers. This is some very intriguing stuff. We will be happy to provide it to you right here on Sports Radio 610 In the Loop. Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig.
Just so you know, this is the official document that Rusty Harden and his staff have submitted. It goes into great detail with what he calls, quote, problems with the plaintiff's allegations. It talks and tries to punch holes into various accounts from some of the plaintiffs by name. It also offers their response to the alleged incidents, some of the points that they consider, quote, lies, and the financial aspect that involves some of the alleged plaintiffs. This is just coming down right now. We will read it. We will share with you shortly.
Again, defendant Deshaun Watson's original answer. We got this from one of our legal buddies. Again, it just came out about an hour ago, and you'll be the first to hear it right here on Sports Radio 610. Deshaun Watson's claims in response to everything that has gone on. So keep it locked right here. We got you covered on Sports Radio 610. Speaking of Deshaun Watson, do you in any way, shape, or form, can you make yourself be okay with Deshaun Watson being traded to the New England Patriots? Let's say Nick Caserio decides that the New England Patriots, because of everything that's gone on and all the teams have dipped out, would you in any scenario be okay with Deshaun Watson being traded to the New England Patriots?
I would. I don't feel, look, I know that this is becoming, no matter what they say, Patriots South. I mean, there was another player with staffer with very direct Patriots ties that was hired over the weekend. I mean, that's what they know. That's their experience. If they were all Andy Reid, you know, disciples and this was Chiefs South, I don't think it would be as big a deal. I don't necessarily like it 100%, but I understand it. And the bigger part for me is, what are you getting? You know, if Deshaun Watson's not going to play here, okay? We know that. If he goes to the New England Patriots, I mean, it'd feel weird, and you'd kind of roll your eyes and say, oh, great, now the Patriots are going to win more Super Bowls. But he's going to play somewhere. I want to know what the return is that you're getting from them.
What would the appropriate return be? A few first-rounders, a couple seconds? Is there some strings attached? What exactly is appropriate? Because I don't care where he goes. Hell, if you want to trade him to the Colts and you're going to get three first, three seconds, and something else, trade him to the Colts. Trade him to the Titans. Trade him anywhere. I don't care. Trade him to the Cowboys. Trade him anywhere at this point. I'm never one that cares where he goes. And I think specifically in this situation with where we are and everything that has changed and the fact that the Jets have backed out, the 49ers have backed out, if the New England Patriots offer you three, four first-rounders or whatever and they want Deshaun Watson, I don't care where Nick Caserio worked. I don't care about this insecure Patriot South thing that we have going on with a lot of loopholes. I do not give a rat's you-know-what about where Deshaun Watson plays football as long as you just get appropriate compensation.
It's the return. I feel like there's going to be some contingencies in any trade that is made for Deshaun Watson, 100%. We broached the topic, I guess, early last week, and I think it's more and more likely as this thing continues to unfold. So what are the contingencies? Which trade might have the fewest contingencies? In other words, let's say the Dolphins offer a first, a second, a player, and a first and second that are contingent on how much he plays this year. But the Patriots offer a first, a second, and a third contingent. That's what I would be more like. If the Patriots offer more, fine, do it.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig with you. I feel like Bill Belichick and Robert Kraft are kind of taking shots at Nick Caserio out the door. Tom Brady leaves. The New England Patriots have more cap space. They're being more aggressive. And Robert Kraft and now Bill Belichick are kind of taking some shots at the general manager of the Houston Texans, or are they? Here was Bill Belichick last week.
A couple weeks ago, we talked to Robert Kraft, and he said he was asked about the draft, and he said, I don't feel we've done the greatest job the last few years. And he said he's seen a different approach this year. Would you agree with his assessment, and what are some of the things that you guys have tried to do a little bit differently this year?
Yeah, well, we're always, you know, always looking to do to get better. Always try to evaluate everything we do and try to find a better way to do it. So that's, I would say, an annual process with the draft, but it's something that we do on a regular basis throughout the course of the season, whether it's, you know, whatever period of time it is. So, you know, always looking to do a better job. There were some things that last year that were unique to the draft process. As I mentioned, some of those are similar this year. Some of them are a little bit different. So we, you know, certainly use some of that experience to improve the process a little bit this year. At least we felt we improved it this year. Yeah, but ultimately, we're still going to try to, you know, evaluate the players and make the decisions that we feel like are best for the football team. We'll continue to do that, and that's really what we've always tried to do. I don't think the mission's changed.
He gone, and we're better. That's kind of what he's saying.
But it's just, it's kind of weird to say that, because obviously they've had a philosophy in the past, but that philosophy had to do with having two decades of excellence and being a couple players away, not having as much cap space. So it's not like all of a sudden, because the Patriots are like aggressively going all in and they might have a different draft outlook. That's not because Nick Caserio all of a sudden left. It's because Tom Brady's gone. Players are getting older, and it's just kind of a transition for the New England Patriots.
Yeah, that's true, but I looked at it. I heard this differently than you did. What I heard was good old-fashioned coach speak. I don't know a coach whoever says, yeah, we were better last year than this year. I mean, every time there's a draft, every time there's a draft prospect, they rave about them, even if ultimately they become a bust. I think it can be interpreted as a little bit of a shot at Nick Caserio, who, by the way, did struggle in recent drafts. If he was really, you know, Bill Belichick's, you know, right-hand man, they haven't had great recent drafts. But that doesn't matter to me as much as this is good old-fashioned coach speak saying, hey, how do you think you're doing this year? Oh, we're doing better than last year. Anybody's going to say that, whether Nick Caserio was still there or not.
We have Deshaun Watson's original answer to the lawsuits against him. We're going to give that to you very, very shortly. Just came down recently to the district clerk of Harris County. We got this for you. It was filed less than an hour ago, so we'll bring it to you right here on Sports Radio 610. The draft is 10 days away. Nick Caserio talked about the draft. I did the official statistics.
You counted them up?
Nick Caserio said right in his draft press conference a total of 116 times.
Right. How long does that go? I'm just curious.
21 questions, and he said right 116 times. Only 4 times when asked a question. This is Landry Stats and Info. He didn't use the word right. Now, that was Deshaun Watson questions. Most rights in one answer, 21. Ed Werder's final question. There were 21 rights there. And the reporter with the most total rights, Ed Werder with 25, Mark Berman with 23.
We're not going to really get into a lot of hypotheticals.
Reporter with the fewest, there was a tie.
Oh, really?
Sarah Barship. And the man who was victorious and got his first question back, John McClain, one right in 2 questions.
In general, right?
That's good. That's really good. I don't want to criticize it too much. It's a crutch. It's a verbal crutch.
Right.
That a lot of us have those. But man, it's a lot.
Right.
It is a lot.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig. Coming up, Deshaun Watson's response to the accusations against him. Just came down, was just filed. And we'll give it to you. You'll be the first to hear it next.
You want to speculate? Just probably go buy Bitcoin, right?
We're making the stories from outside the loop matter to you. This is Localize It, presented by Westside Lexus. You're in the loop on Houston's sports leader. Sports Radio 610. Sports Radio 610, Houston Texans breaking news.
All right, we have the response from Deshaun Watson in regards to the lawsuits against him. Just filed to the District Court of Harris County, the 113th Judicial District. Just came down this morning as we were preparing for the show. We're going to give it to you right now. J-Lo, you just start us off. giving us what all Deshaun Watson has to say via Rusty Harden about the lawsuits against him. There's a lot of information here. We will provide it to you right here on Sports Radio 610. Again, the title at the top, Defendant Deshaun Watson's Original Answer. All caps, all bold, underlined.
All right, so I won't get into the details of cause numbers and all that stuff. Let's get into the meat and potatoes after their original statement. What Rusty Harden has filed with the 113th Judicial District Court. In the few days since Mr. Watson has learned the identity of his accusers, his legal team has already uncovered evidence that numerous allegations in this onslaught of cases are simply not true or accurate. For example, and this is where it gets interesting, and it gets even more interesting later when he talks about specific cases. After the massage therapy sessions with Mr. Watson, eight plaintiffs bragged about, praised, and were excited about massaging Mr. Watson. Seven plaintiffs willingly worked or offered to work with Mr. Watson after their alleged incidents. Three plaintiffs lied about the number of sessions they actually had with Mr. Watson. Three plaintiffs lied about their alleged trauma resulting harm. Five plaintiffs told others they wanted to get money out of Mr. Watson. And five plaintiffs have scrubbed or entirely deleted their social media accounts. And he goes on, and I will read this part. It was not until the plaintiffs saw an opportunity for a money grab that they changed their stories to convert therapy sessions they bragged about to friends and family to something much more nefarious. Innocent questions about whether the therapists were comfortable with the therapy Mr. Watson sought evolved into sexual innuendo that the plaintiffs used to bolster their claims for money. For example, in the first lawsuit filed, plaintiff Ashley Solis implies that Mr. Watson's question asking if she was, quote, comfortable with certain areas his organization is making him get worked on was somehow sexually suggestive. That same question, however, posed to a therapist not seeking to exploit Mr. Watson, was perceived as it was intended, a legitimate therapeutic inquiry.
So he's claiming that they took some of his messages out of context. If you're just
or exaggerated.
This was just filed to the court. This is Deshaun Watson's response to the allegations against him.
These lawsuits are replete with mischaracterizations of Mr. Watson's conduct. These range from being misleading to fraudulent to slanderous. Importantly, only two of the 22 lawsuits allege that Mr. Watson forced any type of sexual activity, an allegation Mr. Watson, again, vehemently denies. And even at this early stage of the litigation, the evidence obtained by the defense clearly supports Mr. Watson's denial of these allegations of force. As plaintiff Shanae Lawson's business manager put it, this is, quote, not extortion, it's blackmail. Unfortunately, 21 other women have decided to join her.
Now, that one is from Brian Burney, his sworn statement to Rusty Harden. Brian Burney's made many mistakes.
Yeah, he has.
In this process.
We're going to get back to these because I think there are some clear counterpoints that can be made to all these. I just want to read the exact accounts here.
He had to, unlike a lot of tweets, he's been very, very much of a liability for the Deshaun Watson camp. The next page, if you're just tuning in, Deshaun Watson's response to the allegations. Here is a page. This is where it starts to get problems with the plaintiff's allegations. This is from Rusty Harden and Deshaun Watson, his response to the lawsuits, the 22 that have been filed against him.
Correct. And just so our listeners know, I am going to read the names. They are public record. I don't think we're in the business of putting these things out there casually, but since they are in the official complaint, I am going to read these names. Quote, after the massage therapy sessions with Mr. Watson, plaintiffs bragged about, praised, and were excited to massage Mr. Watson. Point number one, plaintiff Shanae Lawson claims in the lawsuit that she was, quote, disgusted by Mr. Watson. Yet after her therapy session with him, she bragged to friends and family members about massaging Mr. Watson and told them that she thinks he is a kind person. Next, a security guard at the spa where Mr. Watson received a massage stated that plaintiff Tanjay Johnson was happy and laughing after her interactions with Mr. Watson. She was excited about having worked on him and did not want any other therapist to work on him. Next. According to a security guard at the spa, after one of plaintiff Marshall Davis's sessions with Mr. Watson, Ms. Davis was laughing and appeared in good spirits. Another witness characterized Ms. Davis as, quote, jolly after working with Mr. Watson. And Ms. Davis told multiple family members that she would massage Mr. Watson again. She even told people that while she was, quote, not into men, his body is beautiful and soft, and that if she were not a lesbian, she would have jumped on Mr. Watson. Next, plaintiff Chelsea Bell fails to explain that after the first two therapy sessions, which she alleges were increasingly, quote, uncomfortable, she willingly invited Mr. Watson to come to her house for the last two therapy sessions. Next, plaintiffs Kyla Hayes, Robin Caicedo, and Kimberly Bryce omitted that after their sessions with Mr. Watson, they told him that they would gladly work with him again. In fact, Kimberly Bryce reported to a close relative that she was thrilled to have had the opportunity to massage Deshaun. Next, plaintiff Erica Chapman claims that after the initial therapy session, Mr. Watson hounded her about setting up another session. She failed to explain that she eagerly showed up to Mr. Watson's house to give him another massage before he even had a chance to book an appointment. Now, we're reading from and sharing the official response in the Harris County 113th Judicial Court by Rusty Harden's team. Now we get to the point, Landry, where plaintiffs willingly worked or offered to work with Mr. Watson after the alleged incidents, according to
Rusty Harden.
Rusty Harden and the document that was filed. At least five of the plaintiffs chose to work with Mr. Watson even after they claim he acted offensively and aggressively in prior sessions. Erica Chapman, Kaylin Harrington, Rebecca Nagy, Toy Garner, and Chelsea Bell. This, of course, raises the question of why they would agree to follow up therapy sessions when they claim their experiences made them feel like they, quote, wanted to vomit and caused them to, quote, no longer accept massage clients for fear of a repeat of this type of harassment. Second point, plaintiff Tanjay Johnson claims she was, quote, fearful and felt, quote, violated, terrified, and disgusted after her therapy sessions with Mr. Watson. She does not explain why then, on more than one occasion, she messaged him after his football games to check in on him and asked to massage him again. Next point. Contrary to plaintiff Crystal DeRosa's claim that she was so, quote, disturbed by what allegedly occurred that she chose not to contact Mr. Watson about receiving the rest of the payment for the session, the evidence shows that after the alleged incident, she did attempt to contact Mr. Watson and even asked to work with him again. Next point. In stark contrast to plaintiff Kaylin Harrington's statement that after the alleged incident, she told Mr. Watson that she, quote, would not work with him and has, quote, not been able to move on from these experiences, she contacted Mr. Watson multiple times telling him that she was attracted to him and wanted to go out on dates with him. All right, so now we're going into the lies and lies about alleged trauma resulting in harm in this document.
If you're just tuning in, this was just filed to the court. It's Deshaun Watson's original answer to the lawsuits against him right here on Sports Radio 610.
The following plaintiffs failed to mention they had more therapy sessions with Mr. Watson than what they pleaded. Kyla Hayes, Robinita Miller, and Robin Caicedo. Presumably, these plaintiffs minimized their interactions with Mr. Watson because these facts undermine their allegations. Also, plaintiff Ashley Solis claimed during a news conference that she, quote, can no longer practice the profession that she loves the most without shaking during a session. Yet publicly available information shows that she has provided multiple massages after the alleged incident with Mr. Watson. Indeed, not only is she still accepting clients, but according to those who have worked with her, she did not show any signs of trauma during these sessions. Next point. While plaintiff Toy Garner claims that, quote, by the end of the massage, she was sweating and, quote, there was nowhere for her to go, she neglects to mention she had multiple family members in the home and nearby during both therapy sessions.
Now, the thing to keep in mind as we're reading Deshaun Watson's response to the lawsuits is this is not just like a public post. This is filed to the court.
This is the official document.
This is the initial response. So this isn't like a Facebook post. This isn't like a press conference. This is a response, an official court document that we're reading for you right here on Sports Radio 610.
And keep in mind, we've often talked about that, and you and I have mentioned, no matter what they say outside of the court, what do I always say? Those are just words that you can, lawyers can say anything. This is filed to the court. All right, next point. Plaintiff Marshall Davis alleges that she, quote, was alone at the spa and feared for her life during her therapy session with Mr. Watson. However, a security guard hired by the spa was present at the spa at all times and capable of intervening if an incident had in fact occurred. Now, here's where it gets another level of it, where the plaintiffs told others they wanted to get money out of Mr. Watson, according to the document.
So this would be probably they've talked to people, according to Rusty Harden and them, and this is the situation. You're listening to Deshaun Watson's response to the lawsuits that was filed to the courts earlier this morning.
Plaintiff Marshall Davis told close family members that if Mr. Watson's attorney had paid her, she would have supported him instead of suing him. She also told her family that she had contemplated blackmailing Mr. Watson. Next point. Plaintiff Crystal DeRosa told a witness that the only reason she was getting involved in the lawsuit was for money. She even laughed about it and stated that she wanted to, quote, get in on the action. Next point. Plaintiff Shanae Lawson admittedly sought to, quote, blackmail Mr. Watson before she filed suit. She asked him to pay her $30,000 for indefinite silence because her encounter would be embarrassing if revealed. More importantly, when Mr. Watson's marketing manager, Brian Burney, asked her whether she was claiming that something happened against her will, she confirmed that everything that occurred was consensual. Finally, she told Mr. Burney that she wanted a copy of the NDA that she and Mr. Watson signed because she did not want people in her industry to know she had provided oral sex to her massage client. Evidence of her concerns is contained in Mr. Burney's affidavit and a contemporaneous tape recording of the phone conversation.
And that was the original affidavit that Burney filed. He's cleaning up the tweets now, so I think he's realizing that it's getting a little bit real, can't be doing that. But that's another exhibit that has been presented early in the process.
Witnesses state that plaintiff Kimberly Bryce has a history of, quote, forcing herself on celebrities, quote, chasing celebrities, and, quote, running behind high-profile athletes. They also describe her as being, quote, out for the money and a money grabber. During one of the press conferences Mr. Busby held regarding the case, plaintiff Ashley Solis claimed that she was not filing suit for monetary reasons, but rather because, quote, this is about having her voice heard. It is about having other survivors' voices heard. Belying her assertion, though, Ms. Solis would have abandoned her voice and being the voice of other alleged survivors if Mr. Watson would agree to pay her $100,000. This is the official document, if you're just joining us, in the District Court of Harris County, 113th Judicial District, filed by Rusty Harden and his staff. Plaintiffs have scrubbed or entirely deleted their social media accounts, and the relevant evidence they contained is another part of this. Each of the plaintiffs' petitions contain a paragraph warning Mr. Watson to preserve relevant evidence, including digital information. Without question, Mr. Watson has and will continue to do so. However, the plaintiffs have failed to heed their own warning. At least four plaintiffs, Crystal DeRosa, Latoya Johnson-Hanks, Tavi Turner, and Marshall Davis, have altered the accounts where they advertised the services that Mr. Watson acquired. Before their names became public, their accounts contained pictures and are inconsistent with the image they portrayed through their petitions. These items are no longer posted to their accounts. Plaintiff Kimberly Bryce took the destruction of evidence even further by completely deleting her Instagram account, which again is the account she claims to use to market her services and the one that Mr. Watson used to contract her and hire her for a massage. Now, here is the final part that would be relevant to our listeners. It's the general denial. Pursuant to Texas Rule of Civil Procedure 92, Watson generally denies the allegations and claims set forth in plaintiff's original petition and demands strict proof thereof by a preponderance of the evidence and clear and convincing evidence as required by the Constitution and laws of the state of Texas.
Landry Locker, John Lopez, Figgy Fig, with you. It concludes with the obviously the jury demand. Mr. Watson requests a jury trial and submits the applicable fee for this filing. And there's also a prayer at the end because the plaintiff's claims lack a basis in fact or law. Mr. Watson prays that she take nothing by reason of this suit, that all relief requested by plaintiffs be denied, that Mr. Watson recovers his costs and court expenses, and for all other relief to which he is entitled. Again, that's signed by Rusty Harden, and that is defendant Deshaun Watson's original answer to the lawsuits against him right here on Sports Radio 610. Lots to unpack there.
We will react and give our thoughts and clarification on this as we move along here. Initial reaction, though, from you, mine would be obviously, you know, when you see it in court, official, and you know that he's not going to put anything in here casually, you tend to believe a lot of the information in here. He is Rusty Harden. He's not going to put some of these details in here that they've scrubbed their accounts, that they bragged to family members about treating Watson, that they bragged about it, quote, being a money grab. I firmly believe a lot of this stuff. The counterpoint, I believe, can be equally as strong. And oh, by the way, we're going to get a counterpoint ASAP from Busby,
well,
no doubt about
it. The difference between Busby's, you know, counterpoints that we've seen up to this point is those have been on Facebook. This is in court.
Right. So, I've been saying that the whole
this
time.
This is where this right here, this isn't Rusty Harden holding the press conference and saying stuff. These are court filings. It appears Rusty Harden and his team, since they've gotten the names of the accusers, they've been doing homework. They've been talking to people. They've been looking into them. And this is one of the more significant pieces that's been filed by Deshaun Watson's team, specifically Rusty Harden. You can see this at sportsradio610.com as well. Deshaun Watson and his legal team have responded to the claims made against him. Now, this also, with all this information out there and with accusers looking at it, again, I'm not going to sit here and generalize all accusers into one, but some of the accusers may read this and say, all right, I want to get out of this as quick as possible. Let's settle and let's make it happen. And this could be the process towards the settlement that many experts feel could be coming sooner rather than later.
No question about it. Now, I just talked about how strong a case, how strong a statement this is because it's legal. It's not just words, as I say. There's always a counterpoint, right? And my top line takeaway, and I think this is going to be Tony Busby's counterpoint, this is why 22 matters. This is why 22 accusers matter, because you know Rusty Harden went through it fine-tooth comb, as they say, and while these numbers look eye-popping, 7 willingly worked or offered to work with him. 3 lied about the number of sessions. 3 lied about trauma and harm, according to Rusty. 5 told people they wanted to get money out of him. And 5 scrubbed their entire or deleted some of their social media accounts. That's not 22. You know, that this is what he found.
Yeah. And
you know,
the difference between this and, you know, just saying something at a press conference or whatever is when you lay this out, typically you have at least somebody that is going to back up what you are claiming. So it's getting very interesting. Deshaun Watson has responded. We'll give you the latest on that. We're also going to speculate with Nick Caserio next.
Hey everyone, Boomer Esiason here. The NFL draft is behind us and your favorite team is now gearing up for week number 1. The free Odyssey app puts you right in the middle of the pro football conversation with the biggest sports radio stations from across the country. The local voices who know your team the best, giving you their unfiltered takes on the current state of your squad. It's always football season right here on the free Odyssey app.